going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, halftime is over. The marching band has returned to their seats. The concession stand and bathroom lines are empty. Everybody's ready to roll, and the halftime whistle has blown. Now, on Thursdays, that means it is 8 o'clock, and that means we take a trip just on down the road to Columbia, South Carolina, and that is where we find a young lady who covers the Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News. The lovely Lulu Kessin joins us every Thursday at 8 a.m. to talk Gamecock sports. Lulu, welcome back to the show. How we doing?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I am excellent. Thank you very much. Let's dive right in, if you don't mind. The season, I would say, I hope not disrespectfully, mercifully over for the South Carolina Gamecocks, eliminated by the Florida Gators, pardon me, in the opening round of the Southeastern Conference baseball tournament. We're going to talk, obviously, about that game. We'll talk a little bit about the season. We'll talk a little bit about Paul Mainieri and the decisions that have to be made or maybe already have been. But before we get to any of that, what do you think, when it's all said and done, is going to be the big takeaway, off-season thought, philosophy, whatever you want to call it, of the 2024-25 baseball season?
Well, I think a lot has kind of come out recently about Mainieri's coaching style, and I think that a lot of people are going to start sort of having a discussion about coaching philosophies and styles in 2025. And I think a lot of people are trying to say that the way Mainieri coaches and maybe the way that he yells at players and things like that, you know, doesn't quote unquote fly nowadays, and something has to change. And I think that regardless of what happens next year in terms of wins, in terms of losses, that I just think that over the next couple months, however, you know, whoever says it, whether there's truth to it, whether there's parents, whatever it is, people are going to be very critical about, you know, not just how the season ended and how the season went, but I guess Mainieri's coaching style in general.
If I asked you to, what would you define that style as? I agree with you. I think coaching style matters more than anything else. I've said for a long time, there are three C's to college sports now: coaching, culture, and cash. NIL, you got to have it. Good culture, you got to have it. But the coaching matters. People sign up to play for coaches, not to play for schools, universities, logos, whatever you want to call it. And I've said for a while, like, I think there was a reason that the folks at LSU were ready to move on from Paul Mainieri, and I think his coaching style was part of it. But as somebody who's followed this team, covered this team, I've got my opinions. What's yours? What is that coaching style?
Well, I guess it all kind of came, I remember last year we all had one-on-one interviews with Paul. And I remember one other reporter asked him flat out, like, do you think your coaching style is going to, like, fly in 2025? Like, how do you think that's going to go? Kind of alluding to the fact that maybe even, you know, when he was coaching at LSU, it was becoming, I don't want to say outdated, but just a little bit, like, I think it's just basically a lot of verbal, I don't want to say blame, because it's difficult. Like, we're not in those practices. We can't really see how, you know, what mistakes are being, you know, blamed and things like that. But I think that with some parents yesterday writing on social media, the sense that, like, all he does is yell at players and doesn't take accountability, it does kind of confirm maybe the old school coaching style that he had in his prime, and that people were worried about how it was going to translate over, you know, I don't want to say just in like 2025, but I think just with a new team. I think coaching styles, you have to be willing to adapt. You have to be willing to, you know, meet the needs of players. And I think that a one size fits all coaching method is never going to work, especially when you're at a new job after, you know, retiring from coaching and coming back into it.
I want to ask you about something that you said in the middle of that answer, Lulu Kessin. And I know that this might be a relatively tough thing to discuss, but you said there the way that some parents were talking on social media, et cetera, are we talking parents of baseball players that have been speaking out? Is it just members of the team? Like, where did that come from, if you don't mind me asking?
No, you're good. I mean, it's all interesting, because for us reporters, we're sort of trying to gauge where everybody's at. We're trying to anticipate, you know, who might be entering the portal. There's a lot of kids without eligibility. So a parent posted on Facebook about, I believe it was Roman Kimball's father. And I'm saying this because this is public. Like, this is the sort of part of assessing this situation, is that you see these posts and you're trying to figure out what these next steps are, but you're also trying to be like, okay, this is a parent complaining. But long story short, he says, like, I only wish this year was as successful as the first two. Like, I don't know how, like, just this year was with coaches that don't know how to coach. They just yell and, like, tear down players. And they just basically were saying, like, they hope this program turns around and gets back to, you know, maybe where it was. And some people are like, If they're praising the Mark Kingston era, that tells me all I need to know. Like, it's a very tricky situation when parents are a huge voice in it. And what I find interesting is that this is all happening after administration had basically confirmed that Paul is not going anywhere. So it's sort of taking this look at, like, wow, and people are still so willing to publicly speak on, you know, this season and these interactions and the coaching style and stuff.
And that is interesting to me, Lulu Kessin, because I can go ahead and say, after 7 years of doing this, I know that there are some people listening right now that are going to hear it and think, oh God, helicopter dad, right? Like, parents, like, you know, if your kid's going to play high level ball, you got to let them do their own thing. And that's all well and good. But the reality is, whether we like it or not, whether it can be changed or not, right now, if you have parents of a kid, especially if they are a difference maker, an impact player on the team that may or may not be a returner, if you have parents that are willing to openly criticize like that in a public forum, that it's kind of hard to push back against somebody who has a kid on the team versus those of us who are just up in the stands, up in the press box watching and trying to take anything we can take from, you know, 36,000 feet away.
Right, exactly. And I also think the tricky thing is, like, the other day, I was really surprised by this. I mean, I'll be honest, I do see pretty much every negative comment people make about the baseball program, but my coworker had tweeted out an update about Ethan Petrie and his injury. And I don't remember word for word, but Paul basically had said something about, like, I haven't talked to him in a couple of days or something like that. And everybody was like, holy crap, like, we're so cooked, we're so done. Like, how do you not talk to your best player? And that was, like, a situation where I wasn't present when Paul said that. And I was like, wow, like, if that is true, if he's accidentally openly admitting that, like, he hasn't checked in with his very hurt player in what could have been a historic season with, you know, a couple games left, and he's almost, like, guaranteed to not come back next year and just go to the draft. Like, it's crazy to me, I guess, what he's willing to say. Like, and I think that all feeds into maybe that there's some truth here. Like, I'm not trying to say that, like, 67-year-olds can't use their phone, but it's a clear level of disconnect if there's not a clear understanding that, okay, you have to text and check in with your players nowadays. Because, I mean, I assumed he had to, you know, when he was in his prime, but it was just super weird to hear kind of that and him maybe not understand the impact of it right away.
No, actually, I really agree with that. I did not hear that quote, and I think that would have probably perked my ears up as well. Lulu Kesson of the Greenville News joining us here on the Rob Brown Show. She does so every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. to talk Gamecock athletics. I think that with Paul Manarian, as somebody who followed LSU baseball because he was down there when I was broadcasting in Florida, a lot of LSU fans down there. When I was following this team, there was kind of the same narrative that Paul Manary was basically disconnected from his players if it wasn't directly about baseball, about the game, etc. But obviously Paul Manary had success at LSU. He had won a national championship. He had a fistful of conference championship rings. He had been to 100 super regionals, etc. It's kind of like Bill Belichick at New England, Lulu, like a certain amount of success. And then you basically get to say, this is my coaching style, and if you want to win rings, you can come here and be a part of it. And if it's not for you, don't worry about it. I'll be fine. Paul Manary, I think maybe, and this is just, you know, speculation for me on the outside, I think Paul Manary maybe brought that same attitude from LSU to South Carolina, but the South Carolina fans are looking and going, my guy, you ain't won a damn thing here in Columbia yet.
Exactly. It'd be a lot different if he brought in that coaching style and they were winning, but he had nothing to back it up. He had no numbers to back it up. It was, I think, too, like, that's why I think Belichick at the college level is going to, I don't want to say crash and burn, but I just, knowing all I know about college athletes and how often, like, I will say this, maybe on the men's side, a 19-year-old guy isn't going to be, you know, isn't going to say it in the same way like a 19-year-old woman would, but basically they want to feel heard. They want to feel supported. They want to feel like the coach that is coaching them through these very, you know, important 4 years of their life has their back. And I think that with NIL and with money and with all the emotional aspects that come into this sport nowadays, hiring a coach, and again, like, I'm not at practices. I don't know how much Paul Manary texts players, but I do think that ADs do, going forward, really need to value, are they able to care about an athlete outside of the sport? Are they able, do they have the time? Like, that's why I also think Ashley Chastain Woodard is doing such an incredible job with softball this year, is because it's so clear she cares about those players off the field. And I think that all translates. And when you have players who are starting a year not doing well, and then all of a sudden they're really not doing well in SEC play, and they have a coach that they don't feel like cares about who they are as a person, maybe, and again, I'm just saying allegedly, you're going to check out. You're going to not care. And when you don't have the wins to back up your coaching philosophy, changes have to be made. And if you're staying in that job, I think it's incredibly irresponsible to not, you know, look at yourself in the mirror and figure out what needs to change from year one to year two.
So that's interesting. I actually agree with everything you said philosophically at the beginning of that answer, Lulu Kesson. Now we have found out that, as you mentioned, the athletic department has effectively all but said now Paul Manary will be back for year two. My afternoon colleague Diesel has been telling Gamecock fans, you got to calm down. Change takes time. Even little changes in the world of sports take some time. I'm on the opposite side of that and go, you know, sometimes change takes time, but sometimes you just got to look and go, you know, we're hitting our head into a wall here. Like, the change isn't going to take place with the process that we're in right now. Do you think it was the buyout that has the AD keeping Maneri around, or do they believe that he is the guy and it's just going to take a little more time to establish the regime change?
I have to say I think it has to be the buyout. I think the buyout's carrying the most weight. I don't know Donati well enough to say, but I would say that, like, if you look at the hires Donati has made at South Carolina so far and then at TCU, just Maneri doesn't really fit in that, like, system, I guess, or he doesn't seem, like, I've had a couple other people say to me, like, he just doesn't, you know, Maneri isn't, like, the type of coach that Donati would hire. And I think that he was dealt an incredibly difficult hand when Ray Tanner made the hire and then decided to retire. It's so hard. Like, I think that people blaming him on Twitter are insane. And, like, I know it's meaningless tweets at him, but, like, a lot of people being like, you failed us already, walk away, you don't care about our school. I'm like, you need to point your blame elsewhere if you're going to point fingers online. And I really don't see any other way why this isn't happening, just because the buyout is so large.
Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. You know, you bring up the Maneri philosophy, and all I could think about while you were talking about it was, I mean, South Carolina fans can have whatever thoughts they want about Ray Tanner, but you got Dawn Staley, you got Shane Beamer. I think both of those coaches, it is well established, are the coaches who care about their players. Dawn Staley's going to WNBA games to support her former players. She is flattered constantly, complimented constantly by her current players. Shane Beamer, you know, I've talked to Kyle Kernard and Rocket Sanders and these different players, and all of them glowing reviews about Shane, not just as a coach, but as a mentor, as a leader, as a person who made them feel like they were cared about. If the stuff you've been saying, Lulu Kessin, is true, not only does Paul Maneri not have anything to lean on as far as growth this year, because it wasn't like the team was getting better, but on top of that, he doesn't fit the culture of the successful coaches, multiple successful coaches, and the culture that South Carolina seems to be building at the school. And if you're not a fit because maybe you're outside of the culture, but you're kicking ass, or you're not a fit because you are part of the culture and maybe you're not that good, but the team's getting better. If you got neither one of those things going for you, man, I'm having a hard time getting optimistic about this team being better next year. And two back-to-back 500 years where you get decimated in the conference, Lulu Kessin, is a great way to set your baseball program back years, if not decades.
Totally, and I think the great thing about Dawn and Shane is that they're very vocal about meeting their players halfway. Like, yeah, they have rules. Yeah, they have routines. Yeah, they have, you know, in some ways a one-size-fits-all coaching method, but they've both been very vocal that if they have a player that says, I can't handle getting yelled at, they're going to talk to their player quietly. They're not going to yell at that player. If they have a player that says, I need to be yelled at, like, it's very clear. I mean, Dawn, it's a little bit different because she has a much smaller roster. But that's all to say, like, they're adjusting with how things are changing. And I think that exactly that South Carolina's culture of coaches is sort of this youthful, I mean, to me, Dawn's young. I know she's 55, but, like, she seems so young in that same way. And I think that it's not just an age thing. It's sort of like this understanding that adaptability is kind of the only way to survive in coaching at this point, in my opinion.
Lulu Kessin covers the South Carolina Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News. She joins us every Thursday at 8 a.m. Young lady, you are the best at that. I know that's kind of a tough conversation, but you handled it like a pro. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. I'm off to Philly. It was great talking to you guys.
Enjoy that. Good luck. Have a ball. Stay Stay safe. We appreciate it. Lulu Kesson, follow her on X at Lulu Kesson. Julie Carlson is the head coach of the Greenville Liberty, the USLW League team here in the Upstate. Their season underway. We'll talk to her next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo. And now, joining us on the show, a young lady I've had the pleasure and privilege of working with alongside and on the radio with in various capacities over the last couple of years. She is the head coach of our Greenville Liberty, head coach Julie Carlson joining us on the show. Coach, good morning. Welcome back. Good to have you. I'm sorry it took so long, but I'm glad you're here.
That's okay. Good morning, Rob. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for having me on today.
Of course, of course, of course. Season underway for the gals, Coach. Let's start with just the introduction to this year's team. I know we've got a couple of matches in the bag, a couple of results in the rearview mirror already, but talk to us a little bit about what this team looks like this year.
This team's fun, and they're really invested, and it's really an older collegiate group of players. We do have some youth in the fold, but we don't have a lot of older veteran players that we've had in the past, but a lot more older collegiate players. And it's really, as it always has been, you know, putting the ingredients together to create a good recipe for success. And you know, we've played around with that in these first few games. We kind of got our feet well under us in that first half recently against Chattanooga, and then thought we had it in the bag. And unfortunately, a comedy of errors, which we're actually getting ready to talk about after this call. But, you know, just some youthful mistakes. And I think, you know, this is where this comes into being a developmental league. And you know, we use that opportunity to teach them. But what a great group of women, you know, very athletic. We have a lot more speed in different areas of the field than we had last year. Just, you know, the culture's already really healthy and they really enjoy being around each other. And so that's been an enjoyable piece to the process.
Talk to me a little bit, Coach, about, if you don't mind, the W League itself. This is, as you mentioned, it is a developmental league. It is a league to coach young players who are on their way to college, college players on their way to the pros. You guys have had players like Hirschfeld who have come through and go on to represent the United States of America on the international side. But one of the things that I have noticed about this team over the last couple of years is, regardless of what level, what phase of their career that they are in, when the ladies hit the pitch, they're out for blood and dubs, Coach Carlson, which makes it even that much more entertaining for me. Talk to me about kind of that balance between making sure you are helping these ladies find themselves, who they are as people, who they are as players, but also trying to stack some wins up for Greenville.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely a ruthless league. You know, everybody's battling, everybody's got something to prove. You know, the coaches within the infrastructure are extremely competitive, so their teams are already really ramped up. This division in particular is very athletic and very physical. You know, the soccer is not always the prettiest, but it's effective. We're a different entertaining product, but like you said, you know, there's players out here who are trying to find their pathway into the talent ID process, which we do a selection after every game. Each staff head coach puts forward three players, and that goes into a pool list that gets shared with the new Super League. It also can be shared with the NWSL. You know, we've had U.S. soccer scouts at our matches watching kids that have been in their pool. And so it's just become a new pathway and a new entryway for players to get recognized and to grow their game. And a lot of times we'll even get kids that are fighting to be, you know, the number one goalkeeper on their team, or they're fighting for playing time. And this has been another step in that process for a lot of them.
Julie Carlson, head coach of the Greenville Liberty, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Roster composition this year, Coach, you mentioned it. You got a lot of newer players, a lot of younger players. I know there are a few vets that have made their return. Talk to me about the mix of players, returning players, new players, the couple of older players, the mostly younger players. How have you, as a head coach, handled the composition of the roster and trying to match the play style of ladies of different ages and different stages in their career?
Yeah, I think the first composition has been, we've really been able to generate a great staff, and they've been able to really get more that one-on-one individual growth time with each player, which is something that we've been looking for a while. And we're all on the same page, and I think as long as the leadership is guiding these players to be all, and we're all on the same page, is extremely important to covering the group as a whole. And then bringing back some of the players that have been in the program from the past have won. They're healthy. They were injured, so they couldn't come back, and now they're healthy again. You know, some of those were looking for, realized that they had a really good thing here, and we've put a lot more into this program as the years have grown, are coming back to be nurtured through it again. And then they're really good about embracing those younger players and that younger talent, and really encouraging them. And so I think that all has parlayed into a really good group of people. You know, the challenge is always, one, trying to keep them healthy. Secondly, it is a summer league, and so they have a lot going on. We have kids graduating high school right now. We have kids in the high school state playoffs. We have, you know, players that have other commitments. And so we, you know, trying to bring them in and out of the fold and still put a competitive product on the field. So with all that, you know, I think we've just really done a good job, I think, as a staff, nurturing the players to really put the pieces together. And so it's such a small window. You know, video becomes another extra staff member, which we are doing today, and trying to really encourage, hey, if you weren't on the field, you can still learn from the same mistakes or the same positive plays that the teams put on the field. So it's all about growth.
How do you, as a coach, and this is a question I've had for a while, especially in the position you were in, where it is a developmental league, it is a summer league, you are asked to help develop these young players for different teams, but they are from different teams. There's different philosophies and different systems that they all play within. How do you handle the job, coach, of helping these ladies find themselves as soccer players, but also mixing and matching the different backgrounds and the different styles and tactics they may have learned from their other clubs, or they may going into in their college clubs, etc.? How do you handle making sure that you've got a system that gives everybody on the roster an opportunity to flourish?
So part of it is the conversations with the individual player themselves coming into the program. What are they looking for? What are their needs? And they're all a little bit different, but there's also a lot of similarities. You know, some of it could just be fitness-based and maintaining a certain level of fitness, coming back and fit. Some of it could be playing a new position and using this opportunity to train in that role. Some of it could be, you know, they need to work more on their attacking presence. Some of it could be more on their defending presence. And so what we just try to do is I just try to make sure that I'm hitting each player individually, not just as a group as a whole, whether that's asking my staff to do a little bit more, you know, with certain players, or me myself personally as trying to hit those key points for those players within training. And I think it's really important that we have those conversations openly with the players to make sure that we're addressing their needs, and that, you know, the touch points that I have is I'm always trying to make sure I'm having touch points with each of those players, because some are just more about just, I just want to play over the summer. They may not have a set goal. It's just playing, staying healthy, having lots of touches, staying in a competitive environment. So everybody's coming into this a little bit differently for different reasons. But we just try to make sure that within the training protocol and with all of our partners and performance partners that we have, that we're able to provide them the best developmental environment that we can. And we try to treat them like pros. We can't pay them, but we try to treat them as best as pros as we can and hold them to a high standard at the same time.
Love that answer. Love that answer. Coach,
I
wanted to ask you a question about that communication. We had a discussion earlier in the show. South Carolina's baseball team, not very good this year, unfortunately, and there were a lot of fans asking if it is a disconnect between a coach who has kind of had a reputation of maybe not having the best communication with his players. They're you know, not talking to injured guys, maybe not actually doing the coaching of players that are in a slump or struggling a little bit. And I've said for a while now, at the college level, I think that communication and that relationship between coach and player is probably more important than it ever has been before. How important is that communication to you as a coach trying to find success and wins in this league, obviously, but as a coach that wants to see these young ladies go on and have success and represent Greenville in a way that when they show up in the NWSL or on the Olympic team or whatever, we can all say, hey, that's a Greenville product right there. How important in that development do you believe communication between coach and athlete is?
It's extremely important. And it's not just, people can say, well, we communicate. It's not so much, hey, yeah, we all communicate. It's how we communicate. It's the quality of our delivery. It's adapting, because the way I communicate with one player might be different than how I communicate with another player, you know, and it's understanding what that looks like. The other side of that is making sure players are comfortable to come and communicate with you, and they can come and ask you questions. You know, and I'm very open with the players and say, hey, you can come and ask me. Just, you may not like what you hear, but I'm going to be very honest with you. You know, but it's also important how we deliver that message. You know, I think we're running into so many issues now with, you know, even the women's game and women's athletics about how coaches are kind of under the scrutiny of, like, the, you know, are we communicating properly and professionally? And you know, I think that's where I've really tried to invest in myself, because we have to invest in ourselves to make ourselves better, to make the product of the players better and make them believe better in themselves. Because, you know, we're dealing with, you know, mental health these days. We're dealing with confidence. You know, you're dealing with, you know, players who have different ways of way they manage their confidence and their performance mentality. And so I think just how we communicate is so important. I mean, we're sitting here on this show today and we're all communicating, but it's how we get that information across. It's how healthy we communicate with the players individually to make sure that we're hitting touch points to help them in their development. But also, as coaches too, we also have to get results. And under that is pressure is very self-induced. And so we have to get, you know, in the college game and the professional game, we are result-oriented business. But yet you have to take behind closed doors and have professional conversations with your players, with your group, and how the quality of that is delivered is extremely important now.
Head coach of the Greenville Liberty, Julie Carlson, here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Coach, one or two more, and then we'll let you get back to a busy day. I've been an advocate of women's sports for a very long time. I've had the pleasure and privilege of sitting down and calling y'all's games the last couple of years. Big basketball fan. Love seeing what Dawn Staley's done at South Carolina, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese up in the WNBA. But to me, the foundation of that, to some degree, has been the U.S. women's soccer program, which has been the best in the world for a number of years now. And I think they were kind of out there on the cutting edge of making women's sports a product that sports fans at large want to be a part of. Have you, over the last couple of years here in Greenville, which I think has a fantastic soccer community around the Triumph, around Clemson, around Furman, et cetera, have you started to feel the impact of that in the women's game and in soccer at large in our community in particular?
Yes, I think there is definitely a behind the scenes desire of investors that want to see a professional women's team here. Obviously, it's not going to happen overnight, but I think the more people are excited about it, I think more product is being produced, you know, through the college system here in our area between Clemson, South Carolina, you know, the coastal schools, Furman, and obviously the region itself. It's, you know, the women's game is becoming, the growth of it is astronomically fast. The investments now are coming full swing, you know, and people are putting more investment into women's athletics as a whole from an entertainment industry. And so I think, you know, for us, obviously the announcement of the stadium, what does that look like for us long term as the Greenville Liberty, I think has a lot of high hopes on what we're having discussions on. And so, you know, the key is going to be, you know, keeping that talent at home, bringing it back hopefully as well, that's out there, and putting an entertainment product out here that could be potentially the first women's professional team in the state of South Carolina. And, you know, that's a history-making opportunity for the upstate to invest in women's sports. And, you know, I'm hopeful. You know, obviously nothing's set in stone. We just want to be hopeful. But I think for us, the Liberty is trying to create a connectional pathway to that opportunity for youth players if they're of that talent, or going into the college game and preparing them for college. And this is a place where college coaches can put their players to have another platform, but they're in a safe place and will take care of their players as they continue through the college process. And hopefully we get more Hal Hirschfelds coming through, and Caroline Conti's coming through, and, you know, Julie Mackin's coming through. And that's the goal. And we know that percentage is very small, but my goal and my hope, and hopefully people listening on this call to this conversation, will step forward and help me achieve what we're trying to go for, and that is to put, hopefully in the next few years, a pro team in that new stadium.
Well, you know that the Rob Brown Show is all on board. I will be the loudest tailgater at every game. Head coach of the Greenville Liberty, Julie Carlson, kind enough to take some time out of her morning to join us here on the show. Coach, cannot tell you how much we appreciate it. Great to have you back on. We won't wait as long next time. We'll talk a little later in the season and catch everybody up with where you guys are.
Absolutely. It was always a pleasure, Rob. Thank you so much.
You are more than welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, the head coach of the Greenville Liberty, Julie Carlson. Unfortunately, got a text during that show, Rashad Beard, unable to make it this morning. So when we come back, phone lines open, text line open. SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, wins the NBA MVP yesterday. I think that is bad for basketball. I don't blame SGA. I blame the NBA, but I do think it is going to create a problem for those of us who love basketball around the country. We'll talk about that and get your thoughts on it when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Up.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
State. Rashad Beard, unfortunately, with a last-second issue popping up, so he is unable to make it today. He'll rejoin us next week on the show because due to another set of circumstances, I will be out tomorrow, so we will have the Infinity Sports Network for you tomorrow morning. We are we're off on Monday, right?
Yes, we are off on Monday also, yes.
I had completely forgotten that until this exact moment. We I didn't, sincerely.
Oh, no, I believe you. It's just no doubt in my mind that you forgot.
I will also go on the record and say I am not off tomorrow to make it a four-day weekend because I had forgotten it was a three-day weekend, but no show tomorrow. I will be out tomorrow. We will have the Infinity Sports Network, and then Lonzo and I will return to you on Tuesday of next week to catch up on all things NBA, NHL, NFL, college football, college baseball, and whatever else. We will know at that point Clemson's destiny in the ACC tournament. They get a 6-1 win last night over Virginia Tech. Aiden Kanak, an absolute stud on the bump for Los Tigres yesterday, and Dominic Listy was going, yeah, Big Shots, Adelisti, and easy win yesterday over Tech, but they get a little bit more of a challenge today, taking on an NC State Wolfpack team that got the better of them in a series that these two teams played a number of weeks ago. So a revenge spot today for Clemson. When Zoe and I get back on Tuesday, we will evaluate Clemson's run through the ACC tournament, as well as how the regionals and super regionals set up when we get our big baseball bracket, hopefully by the time we return on Tuesday, and conference championships have been doled out. We will obviously also update you when we get back on the NBA and NHL playoffs, as both of those sports will have a number of games in their conference finals in the books. But wanted to get back to a discussion we got into a little earlier in the morning and get your thoughts on them. The text line, the Hub City Spartanburger text line, is open at 844-326-3663. It is also the call-in number. I'm looking for you basketball fans, and your thoughts. SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of the Oklahoma City Thunder yesterday, was named the 2024-25 National Basketball Association Most Valuable Player. He did lead the league in points this year. He also led the league in shooting percentage, right at 52%, which is pretty impressive. But SG is also a guy that was accused in game one on the broadcast by Doris Burke, although she said, well, you know, many people are calling him. If a dude with a mic says many people are calling him A, that is just that person wanting to also say that he is A without getting in trouble for saying he is A. Free throw merchant. He is a diver. He is a flopper. I do not fault SGA. In fact, quite the opposite. Yesterday, when I heard SGA's MVP acceptance speech, I went, damn, I kind of like this guy. Like, honestly. He's great. He gave a speech in which he said, listen, like, as a six-year-old, I had dreams of this moment. But when you're six, even if you don't know it yet, that's kind of unrealistic. This is something that it takes a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication, a lot of practice to be able to accomplish. And I want to thank my teammates for helping me get there. Bought everyone on the team a brand new Rolex out of appreciation for helping him get to the spot. I actually really like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is both a player and a dude. I do not blame him for being a guy who utilized getting extra whistles that other players didn't get this year to become the MVP. If you have a leg up in the game, you stand on that leg and get as tall as you can get. The issue I have is with the NBA allowing it to happen. I have an issue with the NBA not stepping in and saying, oh, this guy's kind of getting away with some dives. Remember, a couple of years ago, there were a whole bunch of conversations about and some mild rules changes to stop people from taking dives on the basketball floor. And here's a guy who, in my opinion and the opinion of many others, won the MVP by diving. Won the MVP by getting 17 extra free throws every game. Some of them justified, sure, but more free throws than anybody else in the league, many of them earned by taking little to no contact and going down as if he was under assault by the entire U.S. Army and getting those calls. And if you watch game one against the Timberwolves, you saw exactly what it was that I was talking about in that game. In fact, it made that game so, to me, subjectively speaking, of course, unwatchable, that I turned it off and put, I didn't turn it off, I moved it to the baby TV and I put the hockey game on the big TV. I will tell you, 90% of the time, with rare exception, if there's an NBA and an NHL game going on at the same time, playoffs or regular season, even as a hockey dude, the NBA game's going on the big screen. I switched them up that night because watching SGA drive to the rack and get phantom call after phantom call made that game less entertaining, less interesting to me. The fear that I have as young ballers and young people in general are impressionable and are susceptible to imitating and emulating the things that they see and the things that we as a culture celebrate. I am concerned that by handing SGA the MVP, by allowing him to not just succeed with that style of hoops, but to thrive with that style of hoops, carry his team to the Western Conference Finals with a 1-0 lead over Ant-Man, to win the NBA MVP, that young ballers across America are going to look and say, oh, well, that's how you play basketball. That's the style I should play if I want to be an MVP of my league. And I am afraid that youth coaches out there everywhere, at least the ones who truly care more about developing players than stacking wins at low-level basketball, are about to have their jobs made more difficult because you are about to get hit with an absolute explosion of players who think that diving is the right way to play offense on the basketball court. I wish you the best of luck, especially those of you that are able to, willing to, want to look parents in the face and say, this is not about winning. Your kid is not here to win games. Your kid is here to learn, to play the game correctly, properly, as well as possible, and take life lessons along with it. And if that is you, then I just want you to know, from the bottom of my cold black heart, I wish you the best of luck moving forward, because the NBA, by not just celebrating SGA, but by allowing the MVP to go to him, have just encouraged a lot of young players to learn how to take dives when they have the basketball and drive to the rack. Your thoughts are welcome. 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE. You can text your thoughts to the show. You can call the show and get on the air and talk about it. Coming up in the next hour of the show, no Mario. He is out sick today. So we will take your phone calls and your text on that or any other topic you want to get to. We will talk Braves. We'll talk Clemson in the ACC tournament. And Rod Brind'Amour, head coach of the Carolina Panthers, he said yesterday that Rob Brown fella down in Greenville, he knows exactly what he's talking about, and I'm going to listen to him. All right, that's a paraphrase, but you get it.
Yeah, and you mean the Florida Panthers?
Paraphrase. I
mean,
the Hurricanes.
Yeah, that's not. You said Carolina Panthers.
Damn it.
Pull it together. The Indiana Pacers have a 1-0 series lead over the New York Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals after a 138-135 overtime win last night. Tyrese Haliburton had 31 points on 12-23 shooting, and Aaron Naismith added 30. The Knicks held a lead throughout the entire fourth quarter, but a bouncing long-range shot from Haliburton at the buzzer forced the overtime. Words cannot describe it. You need to look at it. Dallas Stars power play offense came alive in the third period for a 6-3 win and a 1-0 series lead over Edmonton in the Western Conference Finals of the NHL playoffs. Edmonton held a 3-1 lead at the final intermission, but Dallas scored 5 goals in the third period. Aiden Canak pitched 6 innings of 4-hit, 1-hit ball, and Clemson moves on in the tournament.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.